is a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriu, and we are your TV BFFs.
That's right, and this is the podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And today, you're getting another bonus episode, part two of our summer 2022 current TV catch-up. Part one was our instant reaction to the Emmy nominations. That's out now. And today, we are talking all about our recent TV best and favorite shows, a bit of a current criteria catch up. And holy shit, Brandi, there's, as always, a lot of television to talk about.
I mean, honestly, Dan, I saw your Instagram story with all of the choices that you have to make. And I was like, Dan Brown has watched some TV. Like, I feel like I've been watching TV, but I have not been watching TV like you've been watching TV. So I'm really excited to hear. Like, I obviously want to hear all the recommendations.
I mean, I feel like we run through this every time, but don't sell yourself short. You're watching a lot of TV, but you do, I think you taste test more things, where I'm sitting here eating like full meals and gorging myself. So yours probably a healthier TV watcher than I am, just kind of like testing out here and there, seeing what sticks.
I just do like an hors d'oeuvre round.
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, give me a steak dinner and then give me another one and then give me a lobster course, you know, just like these big decadent shows one after another, after another. You're right. I posted kind of my list as I was going through things earlier today, and I counted again, and since we last recorded a current catch-up, which was April of this year, April 2022, I've watched another like 20, 25 shows. So there's a lot, and more of them were better this time around. Like, I'm watching more better shows in this stretch than I think the last one. So,
wow.
It's going to be tough. What do you think? In case this is your first time listening, welcome. We are the TV BFFs, like Brandi mentioned, and we put together TV BFF criterias, where the BFF stands for best, favorite, and forever shows. Although, because this is current, we do best, favorite, and future shows. Like, we pick a couple that we're looking forward to. So Brandi and I are each going to choose two best, two favorites from the last 3 months or so of current TV. But before we do that, let's go through some of our almost shows. What was close to your best or favorites but didn't quite make the cut? Brandi, go ahead first.
Really close to being, I think, and my favorites was Hacks. I feel a little like late to the party on Hacks, even though like I'd obviously heard that it was so good. And like I did the taste test of it and I did enjoy it, but I just didn't go back. And so then I was out of town for work, and it's just amazing because for me going out of town for work now, it's like all like I'm just watching my streaming services.
Right, exactly.
It's like I'm literally catching up on all of the things. And so I started watching Hacks like on the plane out to California, and I was like, I have to finish this. And I like finished the first season in like 2 days or something. And this is while I'm at a work conference. So that's how fun I was being
exactly
when I wasn't at stuff.
Now, did you get into season two? Because season two of Hacks is also on my almost list. I feel bad because it was in my best of the year criteria last year. And this year, I think just like the timing of when it landed, there was just so much other really, really great stuff. Not to diminish Hacks, I loved it. It was close to being a best or a favorite, quite honestly, but it just couldn't sneak in this time around, which I think speaks to the strength of all the other shows around it. But yeah, did you get into season two? Watch it all yet?
I did. So I'm probably about halfway through season two.
Okay, nice.
But now I was going to like, because I told Moses, my husband, that it was really great and we should watch it together. And now I might like go like rewatch everything with him.
Yeah, it's a rare comedy that, well, not a rare comedy, but I don't rewatch comedies often. I'll say that. And that one was a really easy and fun rewatch. I got a comedy that's kind of Hacks-esque, I would say. Okay. I love that for you on Showtime.
Oh, yes.
I really enjoyed it.
I taste tested.
Did you? How many?
Two, I think.
The Brandi classic. The Brandi classic twofer. Yeah, I love it.
Two.
I had a lot of fun with it. It wasn't the best thing I watched. It wasn't my favorite thing, but I loved it. And I want to say, just like the performances are really great. I think Matt Rogers, who's one of my favorite comedians out there, he was great. Molly Shannon is always incredible. She was awesome. And Vanessa Bayer, who co-created the show, I think she has a very specific type of humor and a very specific type of performance, and it works really well in this role as a QVC type host who is faking a cancer diagnosis to keep her job. And that's not a spoiler. It happens in like the first episode. Really fun premise, really fun show. Check it out on Showtime.
No, I enjoyed what I saw of it. My sampling.
Yeah.
Also, my almost list was this latest season of Atlanta.
Oh, another kind of, I won't say fall from grace, but I feel like going into the season, we would expect it to be firmly in a best or favorite, I feel, you know?
I know, like firmly in the conversation, but it was, it ended up being in my almost just because I could have picked three, if I could have picked three shows. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause it like, if that's how close it is.
Sure. Okay. Gotcha.
But I thought this was a really brilliant season. I thought I did, as I said in our Emmy conversation, like a little weird that Donald Glover got nominated for an Emmy because he's in like two episodes and like isn't really doing that much in the episodes. I mean, I feel like he directed a lot of the episodes and they're really good. You know what I mean? But like, I would have thought that would be what he would be getting recognized for versus like an actor.
Yeah, a little perplexed by that acting nomination. I feel like Of everyone, Van probably did the most.
Yeah.
Of like the core four or Paperboy. Or Van is who I would put in as like if you had to choose a lead character from this past season. But then again, Van disappears for a lot, but then she gets that solo episode at the end, which is really, really fun. That kind of Amelie send up. That's the thing about this season. Like every episode is kind of like the one with the, or the one where, or the
like there was no
this, or the allegory that, like, it didn't feel like a very cohesive season. I thought there was really incredible highs and I liked a lot of the episodes.
I mean, I liked the themes that were being tackled and like the statements that were being made and like kind of questions it was kind of grappling with this season. Like I really loved the Rich Wigga, Poor Wigga episode. It was like this mixed kid who like definitely presents as white, hangs out with like all the white kids. Turns out this black millionaire is going to donate or pay the college tuitions of all of the black students. And you kind of have to come and prove that you're black, and them having to prove, like this kid having to prove that he's black to this like panel was just so on point. Every single thing they said, like one of the things was like, what soda is the healthiest? And it's like, obviously the answer to that is ginger ale.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, like, or Sprite. But yeah, so Atlanta, it was really, 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 really good. But the stuff that I have in my best, I'm like pretty on board with.
Yeah. I would say I probably have. So yeah, I have just two more on my almost list. One, just to get my superhero content, my Marvel content in here. There's been a bunch of Marvel shows.
I felt something was missing.
Yeah, you know, there's never going to go a 3-month stretch without at least two Marvel shows these days. So like, got to check in. Moon Knight was airing kind of when we were recording last time. It was fine. But the one that was on most recently, Ms. Marvel, actually, that was really good. It was about a Pakistani-American superhero named Ms. Marvel, and it's her origin story. She lives in Jersey City. She's a teenager in high school. Like, it had kind of Spider-Man homecoming friendly neighborhood superhero vibes to it. It was just really fun. Did it sag in the middle like most Marvel shows? Yes. Did it feel disjointed? Yes. But overall, was it better than most of the Marvel TV shows, especially of recent release? Yes, absolutely. So had to shout that out. But the only other one that I had in my almost shows, which similar to you in Atlanta, would have made, like, was just on the outside of best. If I had three, I would put in, additionally, We Own This City. John Barenthal plays a extremely crooked cop on like the gun task force. I think it's the gun task force in Baltimore in like the mid-aughts into somewhat present day. It's kind of feels like an epilogue to The Wire, created by David Simon and George Pelicanos, who made, you know, The Wire. And I loved it. It was a 6-episode miniseries. If you miss The Wire, if you love The Wire, absolutely check out We Own This City. It's similarly excellent and brings you right back into that world. And I thought it was great. Just missed out to a couple of the things. But again, if I had a third slot, this would go in it.
Is it in the same universe as The Wire?
Yes and no. So the one difference I would say is this is based on a true story. All the characters are based on real, it's a real task force. They're real cops.
Okay.
Real, it was a real story. So you may have like seen an article or a documentary or something like that. But technically no, though, because some of the actors on The Wire are playing different people on this show. So you'd have to kind of square that in your brain. But like, yeah, I think it's very much similar universe. At very least, same vibes, same type of, you know, investigative, peeling back the police tape, if you will, on like kind of what those guys think about law enforcement in Baltimore. And it's fucking fascinating yet again.
Okay.
So those are all my almost. Brandy, do you have anything else on yours?
I do. This is tough because this was going to go in my best, but I think I love my other choice. Like it was an either or choice.
Okay.
And it almost was best because I really think that like they really knocked it out of the park on its final season. This Is Us is in my, it was almost a best for me.
Wow. I can't believe that wasn't in an almost show for me. It should have been. That last season was, I mean, ups and downs, but that last stretch of episodes was incredibly strong.
The last six episodes was just like that. It's like, okay, this is why I started watching this show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Because I feel like there was like a couple seasons in there where it was like, I mean, look, the pandemic was hard on all of us, but like it was the hardest on This Is Us because that season was like so sketch.
It was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so This Is Us. I can't believe I'm still, I'll never not be offended that Mandy Moore wasn't nominated for an Emmy because like, I'm sorry, she's playing someone at like four very unique stages of life. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, and like convincingly, like I buy her as a 30-year-old. I buy her as a 45-year-old. I buy her as a 75-year-old. I buy her as a 95-year-old, like,
yeah,
grappling with dementia. Like,
yeah. Well, and not just that, like, at different points in the season, at different stages of her battle with dementia, like,
yeah.
I can't get heated again, Brandy, because I got fumed about the snub and the Emmy nomination, but you're absolutely right. She deserved it. Like, she's been incredible all series, right?
Yeah. Like, Rebecca Pearson is the series.
This disease is a real bastard, and it's set me on a road that's going to have a lot of ugly twists and turns, and I'm afraid it's going to be a lot harder on all of you than it will be on me, and I hate knowing that. I hate it. So I need you all to hear my voice right now, your mother's voice with all of her faculties. You will not make your life smaller because of me. This thing that's happening to me will not be the thing that holds you back. So take the risks. Make the big moves, even if they're small moves. Forge ahead with your lives in any and every direction that moves you. I'm your mother, and I'm sick. And I'm asking you to be fearless.
That second to last episode.
Oh, the train.
Was one of the best, maybe the best episode of network TV I've seen since like Lost, you know, West Wing, like Friday Night Lights, network TV.
Oh, Friday Night Lights. Yeah.
That was really, really high level television.
Yeah. It was really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, those are my almost. I'm excited to talk about what our BFFs are.
Let's do that. But first I have to provide one more disclaimer for a couple shows that I really like and I think are really good. And once they complete their current season runs, will absolutely be in the mix. One is a shoo-in, quite honestly, but in good conscience, I can't put them on a criteria without having these season runs finished. But at the time of this recording, we're in the middle of, For All Mankind is in the middle of its third season. I've sung that show's praises before. Loved it. Last year was on my year-end list. Still bringing it. Awesome. It's now a Race to Mars and it's fucking incredible. Westworld, shockingly, is back.
What?
And Brandy bringing it.
Really?
Season one bringing it. Like season one.
Okay.
Excellent. Like can't remember a season that like bowled me over as much as that one did in a long time. I had kind of like Severance energy from like earlier this year. Like, what the fuck is this? This is wild mindfuck. I loved it. Season two started to fall off. Season three was abysmal. Skip it.
Yeah, like, I couldn't stick with it.
Not even worth watching. Watch a YouTube recap if you want to get the story before going into this current season four, which is awesome. It's like, it's kind of like a mirror image of season one in a way. I don't want to spoil anything. Roles are reversed. I'll just put it that way. And it is really excellent. They're playing with the audience like they always do, but in new ways. Aaron Paul, who joined it last season, is like actually bringing it and makes sense on the show now, which he never didn't really last season anyway. So
Dan, I literally just took it off my DVR.
Really?
Like last night I was like, I'm never watching Westworld again. I'm deleting it from the DVR. Yeah. So you're saying that I have to go back.
You gotta go back. You have HBO Max. It'll be on there.
Yeah.
You gotta go back. Okay. And then this last one, Brandy, I've been talking for too long, so I'll give it back over to you. Cause I know this was both kind of in a not quite almost list. We'll talk about it once it's finished airing, but we got to talk about Better Call Saul, which is in the middle of its final handful of episodes as we're recording. Brandy, what are your thoughts on this season of Better Call Saul so far?
I know. Like, look, it was going to be I was thinking about if we were recording this in a month when it's done, it would have been in my best.
Me too.
Because this last like I've never trusted a creative team more to like just do a fantastic job than I have with the team that makes this show. Like every single detail is so precise and like so thought out, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's like, I never doubt them.
Never. Yeah.
And it's like, I do feel like the show got seasons two and three, like when you're kind of, when he's still kind of like firmly Jimmy, but like you're getting glimpses.
Yeah. But you're moving through like the Chuck storyline.
The Chuck of it all.
Yeah.
Got a little bit slow. I never was like not watching it. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's not like it was like now it's like I think I'm almost watching it live. We let a little time go so we can FF through commercials, but like.
Pretty much. I started at 9:20 so I can fast forward through maybe 9:25 if it's a longer episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't spoil it. We'll have a spoiler discussion. Maybe we do an emergency pod once it's over. We need to relitigate some criteria stuff, but gotta trust this creative team. Gotta trust them. They're going to do it.
Well, and also like, it's so good that they can make me feel so stressed out on people that I know don't like. I know when they die on Breaking Bad. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But here I am. It's like, oh God, I hope nobody sees Mike doing this. Like, you better be careful. Can't believe you just went out. Like, oh my God, is that guy like, don't get hurt. Like me empathizing with fucking Gus Fring. Like what?
Yeah.
How are you going to make me empathize with this guy? But yet I do.
Yeah.
And I also like, I'm not sure what note I wanted to end on. Cause it's like, I think back to Breaking Bad and like, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, I'm about to spoil what happens in the last episode with Walt laying there dead. It's like, obviously that's where it was going. It's inevitable. There's no way he can't come back from what's gone down. Mm-hmm. But I was also just like, I just hate it when people die. And it was just like kind of like, I always want things to have like a happy ending. But like, is it fair for Jimmy/Saul to get a happy ending? Because like, he's done some really terrible shit.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm predisposed to wanting him to have a happy ending. And I feel like because it is a complicated answer, like it's not going to be, it's definitely not going to be like super cut and dry of like, oh my God, his life is going to be amazing from tomorrow on.
Right.
But honestly, like every time I walk by a Cinnabon now, I'm going to feel like, were you erased? Is the person serving me this erased? If I ever see an old person doing a job that like a teenager should be in, I'm going to be like, I guess they were erased.
Right. You called the vacuum store, didn't you? God damn it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Brandy, should we actually get into our best and favorites here? I feel like we've been.
Let's do it.
Speaks to the amount of incredible TV that like we just talked about. I don't know, four or five shows that could have been best or favorites. And we haven't even gotten to our best and favorites. Why don't you go first? What's your first best show?
So my first best show is Barry. And it just finished its third season. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's just such a It's just such a surprising show. I literally never know what to expect. Like the only thing I know about it is that it's probably going to be like just like a little bit too violent.
A little bit too brutal. You know,
like they're not. Yeah, it's going to like some like they will show it.
They will.
Like, so I know I can count on that. But otherwise, like I have no idea. And I also love like what like an ambiguous character Barry is in terms of how I feel about him.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Because it's like a part of me wants to like root for him because I just feel like I'm predisposed to root for the main character, you know?
It's how our TV watching brains are wired. He or she who gets most screen time is who we want to win, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, there's going to be something redeeming, but it's like, no, and it's like, I feel like I'm constantly, you know, I give the benefit of the doubt too much to killers who are like, well, I'm just killing bad people. It's like, okay.
Right. But
like, no. Okay. Just like full stop. You're killing someone. So like, not great.
Right.
But like, I'm like, well, I guess that's okay. That guy was a real piece of shit. You know, but it's like, yeah, exactly. So I just sentenced him to death.
Right. But then it's also like, but who else dies in the wake? Right. There's like the collateral damage of it all.
Yeah. Which I thought was so awesome about this season that like it was the season where like all like consequences were finally had because it was kind of like these first two seasons, Bear's almost like a superhero in that he just evades everything and like doesn't do it in like some weird, creepy, slippery, slimy way. Like it's very like matter of fact and like, of course, like this, and this. If you saw it, I have to kill you.
Yeah. It's effective and efficient, you know, which is why he's a good, you know, hitman, because he's just like no emotion, all logistics and efficiency, you know?
So I thought this season was really awesome. He was finally like consequences were like being seen and also like him having to reckon with his collateral damage, like his version of, I don't know, purgatory, the afterlife, whatever that was, like when he was just like on a beach and it was just all of his victims. It's like, I thought that was just so perfect. It's like, yeah, that's what you fucking deserve. Like for forever to have to be surrounded by everyone whose life you took.
I couldn't agree more with everything you just said because Barry is also on my best list. It's my first best show as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Everything you just said, I think it's the best half hour show of the last, you know, however many months. Is it a comedy? Is it a drama? To be determined. Depends on what scene we're in, be quite honest. Like, I definitely laugh at the show. There's funny moments. There's great comedic performances and spots. But the level of complication in these characters is like next level, right? Because not just Barry, but you look at Sally. You look at Gene.
NoHo Hank.
NoHo Hank. Oh my, I loved that queer storyline this season.
Like even like these characters that look, that seem like they were going to be the kind of drawn as caricatures.
Yeah.
Are like real people, like Cristobal. Like we think that he's going to be this like super tough, like gangster that's doing this. And like, he's like this nice guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Hello.
Hey, hey. Are you around to meet up?
Yes. What time were you thinking?
Now.
Right. Duh. You know, I really wish you would trust one of my guys to bring you these caravan plants, but since I'm the only one you trust, you know, just sucks that you live all the way in Calabasas. I mean, that is a drive.
Say I live in the Redlands.
Redlands? Fuck me. Wow. I am so fucked today. I will not be coming back to this office anytime soon. Okay, I'll see you later.
Are you selling limonada?
Yeah.
Oh, how much?
$1.
Fantastic. I'll take two.
Even fucking Fuchs, who I can't stand, but I love that actor. What's his name? Steven Root. Like, even he's like, finds peace, but then just like still like battling his own demons, like just can't quit getting even with Barry. And then that's what kind of brings up all these, you know, the past, you know, collateral damage from a lot of Barry's hits in a really complicated, fun, repeat it again, brutal capacity. But that is kind of the show, right? It's it's complicated, it's fun, it's brutal, and altogether it's one of the best things on TV.
Yeah. It's just, I can't believe the episodes are half hours. Like it's like you're on the ride.
Yeah.
All like 30-ish minutes.
Which, thank God they're 30-ish minutes, because I don't know if I could white knuckle Barry for a full 45, 50 minutes a week. Yeah. That'd be a lot. I need much more humor, to be quite honest, to get through it. All right. So we both share Barry on our best. What's your next best show?
So my next best show is Big Mouth.
Wow.
So Big Mouth is an animated show on Netflix. It's done by Nick Kroll and John Mulaney, Jesse Klein. And it's basically a cartoon about this group of middle schoolers, like of 12-year-olds, and like them like just navigating puberty. Yeah. And it just is so on point with capturing the awkwardness of that age. And also just like, I don't know, it's just, it's the writing is phenomenal. The songs, there's songs in it that are so funny. The kids' emotions are manifested as hormone monsters. And there's all these different like monsters and like entities that like kind of represent various emotions. So the hormone monster is the one that's like constantly telling you to like just like fuck, and they're so dirty. It's so vulgar. It's so vulgar.
And you picked the spinoff show about the hormone human resources yeah, on your current criteria in mm-hmm. the spring, in the first, you know, 3 months of the year. So like you're loving this universe. You're loving this Big Mouth Nick Kroll content.
I really am. It's yeah, it's just, it's a really funny show. They're super easy to watch, and they just, I mean, they're laugh out loud funny, but like so dirty. And it's like, it's the kind of like disgusting that you could only be when you're like 13, because otherwise it's like, you don't ever need to talk like that.
Right. I was just going to ask, well, so Brandi, you're a parent of two and your kids are mm-hmm. how old?
My kids are 2 and 5.
5. Okay. How old will Yuli have to be before you let her watch Big Mouth? Pen 15, similar sort of lane. Middle school shenanigans, but adult humor. Mm-hmm. But to your point, like mm-hmm. that's exactly where middle school heads are at, is where yeah. these shows live.
I don't know if a middle schooler watching Big Mouth would get it, because it's, the perspective is definitely from adults now remembering their own middle school experiences. And so, which a lot of things are like universal, but right. like, I also think that the person that's going to like the show the most is between the ages of like 28 and like 50.
Okay. Let me throw it back at you. What about watching it with your teenage child as a way to talk about sex and adolescence in a way that's not stilted and awkward and weird?
I mean, I would 100% consider that. That's actually a great idea, Dan. And you should write a blog. You'll get a lot of traffic. Post it on do a Substack.
I don't blog. That's why we talk into microphones, Brandi. I don't blog.
Yeah, no, that actually would be really hilarious. The songs are really informative. The songs, I would say, you know what? They're like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend level.
Oh, shit.
You know how like those songs were like just like really funny, full of subtext. Like it was, you know, that's what the songs are like.
Nice.
But also just like the voice talent is amazing. Like Maya Rudolph, like, oh my God, what a dream she is.
She's a dream.
She's so funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Big Mouth, I think, is just one of the best shows out there. I think it's in its fifth season. Yeah, there's 5 seasons out. It's on Netflix, and it's really fucking funny.
Check it out. Watch it with your teenage kids.
But also like very dirty and vulgar.
Yeah. We dare you. All right. My second best show. A lot of B's. We got Barry, we got Big Mouth, and my second best show is The Boys on Amazon.
Oh.
Just finished its third, similar to Barry, maybe its best season. If you don't know The Boys, it is a...
I don't, please. I feel like I want to know more about it, but I haven't taken the time.
Okay, so I'm going to say a word and you're instantly going to want to be out, but let me convince you why you actually... that's the reason why you need to be in. So
okay,
it's a superhero show.
Mm, okay.
However, it's what if superheroes, but they're owned and operated by a giant multi-conglomerate corporation, because that's probably what would really happen. And they farm out superheroes to different cities to protect those cities. And a lot of them are fucking assholes and egomaniacal maniacs and sexual harassers and abusers and terrible people because they're filled with superpowers and they can get away with it. Like, what would superheroes look like in a real world? And
they're self-assessed motherfuckers.
Yeah, it's funny. It's outrageous. It's brutal. Again, there's that word again. It's thrilling. The action is great. And it doesn't feel like Marvel. It doesn't feel like DC. It doesn't feel like any other superhero thing. And also, not for nothing, it's just like a really good TV show with strong characters mm-hmm. and great storylines and like A, B, and C plot every week. Like, it feels very much like a kind of old school, like not in a bad way, but just like, man, the people who make this know how to make TV. And it's a great take. It's a great topic. It's a great premise. They just announced a spinoff. So it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's over on Amazon. Yeah. Check out The Boys. I think has Mo ever gotten into superhero stuff?
No, he's not into super. We're like not really a superhero household.
Watch the pilot to give you an idea. And this is not a spoiler. It happens in the first 5 minutes. A superhero with super speed runs through a woman on the street, runs through her, explodes a woman who is holding hands with her boyfriend, like into mist, and keeps running because he couldn't care less. And that's the opening inciting incident of the show.
So like when they're protecting these towns and stuff, are they like fighting bad guys?
Yeah, there's villains that show up, but generally the villains are other superheroes who have just corrupted to a point where they don't give a shit anymore. For the most part, it's really not about like fighting a world-ending threat almost ever. It's about the interpersonal dynamics and politics within this kind of insular superhero world and then how that affects the rest of the world.
Okay. Got it. All right. I'll do a taste test.
Yeah. Do the classic brandy twofer. I love it. Mm-hmm. All right. Moving on to our favorite recent shows of the last three or so months, spring, summer 2022. Brandy, what's your first favorite show of recent times?
Oh my gosh, my first favorite of recent times is Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip, season 2, Bluestone Manor, FKA the Ex-Wives Club.
Ooh, okay. Tell me about it. You know this is my blind spot. What's going on with Ultimate Girls Trip?
Okay, so the Housewives That Be powers were like, you know what? We need to get all different housewives together on a show and do something. Mm-hmm. So they did it for the first season. It was in Turks and Caicos, and it was all people who were kind of currently on the show. I think one or two people, like, they weren't going to be going back, but they had just filmed the previous season of their specific franchise. And that season one was good, but like, I just needed like more drama. It was like thrilling to see all of my favorites like interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And also like really, it really kind of broke the mold a bit for like a kind of docufollow type reality show, because they constantly broke the fourth wall. They talked about being on their shows and, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like kind of really completely dispelling the fiction that these are just, whoop, the cameras just popped in, you know, but they really got it right on season 2. And I think it's because so it's called Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip,
mm-hmm.
but the subheading is the Ex-Wives Club. So this is all women who used to be on the show and are no longer on the show and all desperately want to be on the show again. You know what I mean? Like, they're never going to say it. Like, one of them, Dorinda, and it's at Dorinda's home, which is called Bluestone Manor.
The Berserkshires, right?
The Berserkshires, yes.
I've heard of this.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So I think we've probably talked about the Berserkshires on previous episodes when folks have been really into the Real Housewives of New York. But Dorinda Medley was the Aroni housewife. She has extreme anger issues when she gets drunk and says the meanest shit. And these episodes are just wild. So all of the women used to be on the show, not on the show anymore. And all were like very big personalities on the show. Mm-hmm. So you've got like Jill Zarin, who, you know, infamously fell out with Bethany Frankel and thought she was going to be on the right side of history. And she was not. There's Brandi Glanville, who was in Beverly Hills. And like, just, she's just a mess. She's just so incredibly messy. And it's just, it's really wonderful to see.
Obviously, that was a joke. There's no such thing as a lesbian eyebrow.
There is.
Lady, help us.
Generally, I can tell if someone's a lesbian by her eyebrows.
What would lesbian eyebrows look like?
I will tell you when I see them. It's different for everyone.
You saw his wife and you walked up and asked him if she was a lesbian.
Yeah, that's not true.
He just said it on camera to us.
So if you shut the f*** up for 2 seconds.
Don't talk to me like that, you little f***ing bitch.
Taylor is literally yelling at me.
I'm sick of it.
But all I can think about in my head is that stupid cat meme.
F***ing bitch.
Told ya.
So Dorinda, it's at her place. She's insane. Like, insane. She has all these rules. It's like, oh, you can't eat upstairs. You can't have shoes upstairs. And it's like, you're going to tell these grown-ass women that they can't have food in their rooms?
Right.
Bitch, like, you're right now, you're a hotel right now, okay?
Basically, yeah.
Like, and so she like flipped out at like Tamara having food in her room and like was so mean to her. It's just like you rarely see people just like really being just nasty in real life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like reality TV is real life, but like she wasn't reading from a script.
Now, do you feel like, are we getting different sides of some of these women, these characters? Like, because my question is, do you feel like there's a sense maybe that, oh, this isn't on Bravo. It's not the mothership. It's not programmed next to like the proper Housewives. It's a Peacock show. Like, it doesn't feel like there's a difference in performance based on this format is, I guess, my real question.
No, they all are. They're themselves.
Nice.
They're themselves. And what's kind of funny is that, so one of the women that's on her name is Phaedra. So she was on Atlanta and she was always like a really good housewife. She's really funny. She's got a lot of great one-liners. She's just got great expressions. Mm. She's very famous for doing a pregnancy photo shoot with her husband, Apollo, who then went to prison with a huge pickle. Like she was basically like blowing a pickle in her pregnancy photo shoot. She's wild.
What the fuck?
But anyway, she got kicked off of Housewives of Atlanta because she spread this rumor about another housewife on the show, Candy, that Candy tried to rape another housewife named Portia in her sex dungeon that Candy and her husband Todd have at their house. So that was a lie.
What?
And like very damaging to say that your coworker was going to rape someone.
Yeah.
And so she hasn't been on the show. But on Girls Trip, I'm just like, dude. And I really was mad at her about that. So I was like, good, she should be off the show.
Right.
But in this season of Girls Trip, like, she is just such a breath of fresh. And I love her. She's so funny. And she and Eva, who was also a Atlanta housewife and also won America's Next Top Model back in like 2006. Or maybe 2005. She and Phaedra are like the only black women in the house. And like their looks just being like, these crazy ass white women. Like, get out of my face.
My last question about this is, and I know the answer to this. We had a conversation about this very show somewhat recently with one of our future guests for season 2. We won't reveal who it is, but he is a big name in the Bravo Housewives universe. We had an extensive chat about all things Bravo and Housewives. We talked about Girls Trip. I asked this question. For someone like me who isn't a regular Housewives viewer, can I jump in on Ultimate Girls Trip and have a good time and not need to have seen all of the seasons that these cast members have been in before?
You can 100% jump in. They signpost everything and constantly flashback.
Okay, good.
Like, it's made for people to be able to, like, it's made for you to be able to drop in. It's like, it really works on two fronts. It's like, you can drop in if you've never seen it and, like, you're in it. But, like, as a long-term fan and a long-time fan, it's just hitting on so many more levels for me. So you can definitely get in there and, like, you're going to enjoy it because they're insane. And actually, you might even, because you don't have a history with them, they might even be more insane to you. Like with some of them, I'm like, wow, like Vicky like really toned it down. But you could probably be watching this and be like, this bitch is nuts. You know what I mean? And I'm like, yeah. She's really, I actually kind of like her now.
I love it.
But yeah, no, you can definitely jump right in. Guys, it's on Peacock. It's really good. Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. Ex-Wives Club.
Ex-Wives Club. Great subheading. All right. My first favorite. So the way I distinguish between my best and my favorite, best I think is, you know, what's like the high watermark, what's doing things that other shows aren't quite doing. Whereas my favorites are, what am I just absolutely fucking obsessed with? What am I, anyone I encounter who wants to talk about TV, what am I talking about? What am I theorizing about? What am I rewatching over and over as much as I can with the time allotted? So the first one of those shows for me is The Bear. If you're up on current TV, watching recent TV, you've probably heard about it. If you haven't, you may have heard about it tangentially because now everyone's talking about how hot chef types are again, like the tatted, gruff, but hot and a little bit, you know, mysterious chef type.
And mean.
Mean. But redeeming, you know what I mean? Like that sort of guy, that sort of character, that is Jeremy Allen White in The Bear. He plays Carmi. A lazy description for this show would be Shameless meets Top Chef. Jeremy Allen White played Lip in Shameless for many, many years. Now play in this show, also set in Chicago, also kind of has like a kind of grungy sort of vibe to it. But his character is like an expert level chef, like chef de cuisine, at the number one restaurant in the entire world, high level Top Chef masters type stuff. But his brother dies. He has to come back to Chicago to run his family's sandwich shop and make beef sandwiches and pasta and shit like that. And it's all about him kind of getting his staff in shape based on his standards, but then kind of finding the middle ground based on where they're at. He hires someone new played by Ayo Edebiri. Ayo Edebiri, is that right? She plays Sydney, who is one of my favorite recent characters.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
I'm Sydney. I called about the Sue position. I'm staging today.
Right.
You said
shit,
I could
sorry,
today.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Carmi, hey. Here, you give me your...
Yes.
Thank you.
Linear smoke effect. That's some serious heat. What's UPS? That's in Chicago, or...?
United Parcel Service.
Shit.
The one.
That's the UPS.
The mail. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just like ask you a question, maybe?
Of course, yeah.
I know who you are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you're the most excellent CDC at the most excellent restaurant in the entire United States of America. So, what are you doing here, I guess?
Making sandwiches.
Just an excellent show. It's quick. It's 8 episodes. They're half hours. The 7th episode is pretty much all done in one long shot, one runner, which is just, it could have been a best because of that episode alone. Like, it is incredibly well done, really fun, intense. It kind of has a little bit of like, if you've ever worked in a restaurant or in the food industry, like, you know what a kitchen or restaurant environment is like. And I think it does a pretty accurate job of portraying that. My mom worked in a restaurant for a lot of years, and I've sat in the corners of kitchens, you know, many times as a kid, and it felt like that energy, which I really liked. I'm not rambling about the show. Brandy, have you heard about The Bear? Have you seen anything about it? What's your experience with it?
You were the one that you told me about The Bear, so I actually did check it out. I sampled it.
Sampled the Brandy sample.
And I did enjoy it. The only reason I've only watched the first episode is because I want to watch it. I do actually want to watch this one with my husband, because I know that they're so short. So like, I think that like probably by next week, I'll have finished all of it.
It's one of the rare shows. I haven't done this since Squid Game, where I just couldn't stop and I binged it until it was done. Like, I didn't go to sleep until it was done. I started at like 7 o'clock after work one night and finished it around 11. And then the next day,
wow,
rewatched the final two episodes again, the one-shot episode and then the finale. It's something special. It just got picked up for a second season. It's been very word of mouth. It's that type of show. And the food is really good. That's why I say kind of Top Chef meets Shameless. It has the energy of Shameless, but the food looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, it had me hungry, that episode, the pilot episode that I watched.
Yeah, it's like really well shot, really well done. All right, that's my first favorite, Brandy. Spoiler alert, we shared some of our list before this. We share our second favorite. Do you want to reveal what your second favorite show of the last couple months has been?
Yes, it is Stranger Things. Which is like actually really kind of hilarious, because I didn't think I was going to go back to Stranger Things. Like I watched, like it took me forever to finish season 3.
Yep, the mall season.
Because to this, like the most recent season is season 4.
Yeah, we just watched season 4. That's right.
Yeah. So it took me a really long time to finish season 3. I think it had been out for months before I finally like finished it. And then I was just like, I think I'm kind of done with this. So I wasn't going to go back when it started back up again. But then I just like started hearing like Strange Things is really good. It's really good. I'm hearing this Kate Bush song everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, fine. And on this work trip, where I also watched Sax.
Love this work trip for you.
I also watched Stranger Things. And I was like, wait, this is pretty good. Like with the first episode. And then I just kept going. And then I was just like, wow, this was really, really enjoyable TV. And like, you know, favorites for me are the shows that it's just like, it's just a really good time to watch.
Mm.
And, you know, I might go watch it again because it felt like I could watch that again. Like, that's how I felt about this season.
Yeah. As much as the Upside Down is always right there threatening to encroach its way in, it's a world that I want to hang out in. You know what I mean? It's a world that I love being in. And this season really fucking rocked. And actually, we're going to spoil it, because if you're not watching Stranger Things, you're probably not going to. And if you are, we can have a spoiler conversation. So skip ahead if you don't want Stranger Things season 4 spoiled, if you somehow haven't gotten to it yet. I just loved how it brought everything together. The Vecna villain.
Yes, it explained. It explained things. And I feel like that is what I had been missing from this show, of just like, there's Russians, but there's the scientists, but there's...
Right.
Where's Will?
Yeah. How does it all fit together? Why is this happening? Why is it just Hawkins? Why is it focused on, why is 11 the only person who can ever fix anything? Like, and it really put all that together with this big villain reveal, who like, we knew it was this, you know, kind of more humanoid villain that the kids named Vecna after a character in Dungeons and Dragons, as they name all the things like the Mind Flayer, the Upside Down, all those things, Demogorgons. But then we also were exploring 11's past in like the Hawkins lab with Papa, and this character that is introduced as like an orderly early on just kind of hangs around and is given 11 advice. And then turns out he's actually, if she's 11, he's number one. He was like the first subject of the experiment, has similar, even more heightened powers, and freaking goes crazy, kills a bunch of kids. 11 as a, you know, small child still stops him and creates basically Vecna, like banishes him to this next realm, so that like Vecna is one, is this character Henry, who then we also learn about from like the Scooby crew investigating the craziness that's going on, like related to this other family with a murderous past and Hawkins. And it just connects in such a satisfying, thrilling, heart pounding, emotionally resonant way that you're like, fuck, I want to go back and rewatch all of it, because now everything takes on a new meaning.
Yeah.
Everything now, it made the first, and I love the first couple seasons. I liked 3 a lot as well, but it was probably my weakest, but it made season 3 so much better. It made, because now we understand, like, it was Vecna. It was one the whole time talking through Billy, creating the body monster that looked like a spider, you know, manipulating the mind flayer that also looks like a spider, because this villain when he was a kid had an obsession with spiders. Like, it just all connects in such a satisfying way. I'm like obsessed with it. I've rewatched episodes. I rewatched season 4 at least once, a couple episodes more than once. It's just, I can't get enough of it. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. And well, what I really like about it, you really hit the nail on the head with like, it just made everything connect. They really brought everything together, and it just gave, because of how they told the story this season, I have faith in these creators that like, they know what this story is. Season 3 made me think that they were just kind of like, I don't know where this is going.
Right.
You know, like it didn't seem to have a direction, but now I can see it as a part of a whole. And it just honestly, it makes me respect them and the show more.
Yeah.
Because like they did, like, this is a thought out thing, because like what drew me to Stranger Things and what I really liked about it was how much it reminded me of like Stephen King books of back in the day.
Yeah.
And Stephen King is so amazing at making these amazingly rich, layered characters and like, and really telling a story with the beginning, a middle, and an end.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I felt like I was going to get that from Stranger Things. And I did in the first two seasons, I think. But then like season three, I felt like, I don't know about this. Like it just wasn't really holding me. But now, like, I don't know. All these episodes are just like really good. I don't know. Also, maybe it's because, is it because the kids are older and they're like better actors? Like, because Max, like, really blew it out of the water. She's so good.
Max blew it out of the water. Lucas blew it out of the water.
Lucas's sister, Erica. Like, I'm Erica's so glad they gave her more to work with.
Yeah.
Work with. Like, she was great.
We do, unfortunately, need to talk about Mike. Not great. I gotta say, one, I'm liking his character less and less. He's kind of a dick. Two, I'm sorry, Finn Wolfhard. I don't think you're stacking up to your castmates, friend. Like, I'm not getting it, you know?
Well, I think that he's always been kind of a dick, but when they were younger, he was kind of cute. And you don't recognize, you don't often recognize like 11 and 12 year olds just like being dicks. It's just like, it's just an annoying kid. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I feel like he's always been like kind of a dick.
Yeah.
But I do agree. And I feel like they recognize that he was not going to be the strongest of the crew, because I feel like he doesn't get as much screen time as his comrades.
I'm waiting for Will to come back big next season. He didn't get a ton of screen time either. I do think, though, all right, do you want to speculate? You want to future cast a little bit here? Because then that'll bring us right into our future.
Okay, yeah.
We both share this as a favorite. So I'm looking forward to next season, because I'll give you another pitch. And this is not fully my own. This is cobbled together from listening to folks like the Ringerverse and other kind of fan podcasts and reading a bunch of stuff. But the leading theory that I like the best, that I subscribe to, is the time travel theory. Because one of the biggest unanswered questions is, why is the Upside Down stuck in 1983 on the day that Will disappeared and the first gate that we witnessed on the show was opened, which is when Eleven touched the Demogorgon and the big gate opens, right? And that stays open through season two. And then season three, the Russians open their own gate and, you know, brings you back again. But like, okay, that first gate was opened in 1983, and that's where the Upside Down is stuck. But then also, what actually is the Upside Down? Because when we see Eleven banish Vecna the very first time, he's in kind of that like reddish, you know, sepia tone, kind of like weird alternate hellscape type space where he finds the Mind Flayer, where, you know, where Max escapes from in episode four when she's run up that hill. Like, that's kind of like that kind of like mind dimension, maybe, or like true alternate dimension. But then the Upside Down is like dark and decrepit and cold and has like things floating everywhere. And it's clearly a very different space. So like, did Vecna/One create the Upside Down? Was it created against his will in some way, and he can't change it, but he can manipulate it? I don't know, but there's something about 1983. And I think that you can't come back from like the big four corner gate that's now split open all of fucking Hawkins. So like, I think the kids are going to go back in time. This is a theory that's floating around. Like, there's been a lot of references, like they go to see Back to the Future in season three, the end of season three, they like, you see them packing up when Eleven's reading the note from Hopper, and then they leave, and then she finished reading the note, and then they leave again, and there's language in the note about turning back time and turning back the clock and things like that, or set all the time. So like, I gotta believe that like there's gonna be some sort of time travel, because then you get the fun of like these almost 20-year-olds interacting with like, or looking at or shifting the world of their, you know, little kid selves that we met in season one. I think that'd be really cool and really fun. And it's a theory that I would love to fucking see. Like, season five, time travel, let's go. That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we know that they can make them look like little kids again because of how they did Eleven. That was pretty fantastic.
That's true.
They basically had a kid actress, but they've like put her face.
Yeah.
On it.
They put her face on her face.
Wild.
Yeah. like legit face-off technology. Yeah. I don't know. What about you? What do you think? Any theories? Any wants, wishes?
No, I don't know. I feel like we're going to find out that like Will has powers.
Okay.
Or something. Yeah. Because why Will?
Right.
Like, I think we're going to find out like why that is.
I like that. And then maybe Vecna turns Will because like Mike's an asshole. And doesn't realize his best friend is crying next to him. His mom abandons him to go search for, you know, Hopper in Russia for weeks at a time, right? Like, mm-hmm. Will kind of gets ignored.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
I don't know. Maybe he gets turns.
I don't know. I feel like Will is, I do agree with you that Will is going to be a big part of the next season for sure. Story-wise, like, I'm not really sure because it's like, what does it mean that the Upside Down is in Hawkins?
Right.
Because what the like, is it just like all those like scary ass animals are now out? Like, just, I guess Vecna just wants everything to be chaos.
Yeah, he wants to end everything. He wants to kill humanity.
Yeah, that's a really insane want.
Which I guess starts with unleashing his monsters on the planet, starting in Hawkins.
Yeah, it just feels so, how are they going to beat that?
That's what I'm saying. I got to go back in time to stop it from ever happening. Right. Cause I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
Eleven's brain's going to explode trying to close that.
Yeah, you're right. They're definitely going back in time. There's nothing they can do now, but you know what? Somebody who's not supposed to come back in time with them is going to come back in time. And I vote that is going to be Mike's mom.
What?
Yeah.
The comedic, it would be much funnier if it was Mike's dad, because he had some of the best one-liners of the season.
I think it's so sweet that you guys are sticking together like this.
Could try sticking together at a different house for a change.
Totally. You're like family. May I?
Absolutely.
Yeah, why not? Take us for all we're worth.
Okay.
Wonder where Mike gets his asshole tendencies, you know?
I know. I love that they were like, we refuse to give this guy layers.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, no, this is who this guy is. It's fine. Like, this is, yeah.
I love it.
But yeah, Stranger Things is great. If you haven't watched it, watch it. Yeah, the last episode is 2 hours and 13 minutes long, but it's worth it.
Yeah. Is it TV? Is it movies? The line blurs with every day. But speaking of, so like, great transition to our future shows, because did you see some of the announcements for the future Duffer Brothers projects? There's going to be they announced Upside Down Pictures, and they have a whole deal with Netflix. There's going to be a untitled, unremarked upon, don't know anything about it, spinoff in the Stranger Things universe.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a stage play set in the Stranger Things universe. They're working with, I think, like a London-based company to get that up. And the big one that I'm most excited about, and I think you will be too, considering how you were talking about Stranger Things earlier, they're adapting the Stephen King novel that Lucas was reading to Max at the end of the season, The Talisman.
Oh, wow.
You ever read The Talisman?
No, because that was with him and Peter Staub, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't read that one. Like, it was because I also didn't read the Dark Tower series by Stephen King.
Oh, some of my favorites.
And I thought that The Talisman was in that because it's like, that was just like a little bit too out there. I think I've discussed this before, that I very much like my fiction grounded in reality. Even if, like, I'm okay to be in a world where there's monsters and whatever the fuck else that's in the Stephen King book. But like, it's hard for me to wrap myself into or get myself really into like other worlds, which is why like Lord of the Rings never worked for me. It was strange that Game of Thrones worked for me.
That's right.
Because like I didn't come to it for a while because I was like, I don't do that fantasy shit. But yeah, so that's why. But like, because Stephen King is a really great writer and I like all of his books, I probably will like those books. But like, I just wasn't ready to like, I was like, I need like people with a first and last name.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So the Dark Tower, you're right. Big, long, foreboding series. I do believe the Talisman has like some sort of like in-universe overlap, but it's not like you need to read one to get the other or anything like that. I think it's its own thing.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just now like really excited because that's one of the few he's written so fucking many, but it's one of the bigger, earlier Stephen King books that I hadn't read either. And I just bought it and I'm going to read it because now I'm like, Duffer Brothers are doing it. We got to catch up. I got to be in the know. I got
to,
you know.
Yeah. Okay, fine. I'll read it. Like, you don't have to ask me twice to read a Stephen King book.
Right. That's what I'm saying. All right. That said, doing some future casting, let's round out our BFFs with, this is going to be tough. We will cheat. There's, again, way more exciting things coming out than only two slots in a criteria will contain. So we're going to kind of, spray down a bunch of shows, and then we'll land on the two that we're most looking forward to each. So I will go first and just mention a couple of things real quick. Looking forward to Andor, back at my Star Wars shit. That's the next Star Wars show coming out. Looking forward to Welcome to Wrexham, which is the docu-series about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney buying an English soccer club, which I think is going to be fucking hysterical.
Oh my God, yes.
Looking forward to the show called The Patient, which I really just found out about today, but listen to this logline. Have you been hankering for more of that thrilling doom and gloom seen in FX's The Americans? Yes, loved that show. Miss it dearly. Well, this series produced by FX and airing on Hulu comes from the same creators. 10-episode limited series, psychological thriller, starring Steve Carell as a psychotherapist who gets kidnapped and held captive by a serial killer who wants him to help him curb his murderous urges. And the serial killer is played by Domhnall Gleeson. That, everything about it, I'm in.
Yeah, that sounds actually really good. And I did see, I saw that a promo for that, but not the whole trailer, like just like a promo still, I think, because it was Steve Carell, like sitting Indian style.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pumped for that. And then a couple season two returning. We generally use this mostly for new shows, but two season twos coming out in early August in just a couple of weeks. Reservation Dogs season two coming soon. And Industry, which I don't think we've really gotten a chance to talk about on the podcast.
No, I remember you saying that you were watching it, and I said that I wasn't going to watch it because sometimes it's hard for me to watch things with young people because I envy their youth. But then I did start watching Euphoria.
This is very much that.
But I was like, exactly. But Euphoria, I can like, it's okay. Cause like, they're so much younger than me and I'm not trying to go back to high school, but I feel like Industry, it's like, I would be 24 again.
Right. Yeah. It was,
you know,
it reminds me of being a page, but like if we were in London and in the financial industry and not TV, I love it. So that's some couple quick ones. I haven't landed on my two most anticipated, but what are some that you're looking forward to, Brandy?
I'm really looking forward to, this is actually, I think this is on, I don't think, I know it is on right now, but I haven't gotten to it yet. I think it came out last month. It's called The Deep End. It's on Freeform and it's about, I think like Hulu on Freeform too. It's like it seems like a NXIVM type cult, but like not, I don't think there's any sex involved like with NXIVM.
Okay.
But it's like this woman, Teal, and like people are obsessed with her. And like the preview is just like, it just looks bananas. And I love a good cult story. So I'm going to take a look at that. I think it's like 8 episodes maybe, or maybe less.
4-part documentary about the life and work of controversial spiritual influencer and author. What a name. You're right. Teal Swan.
Yeah. Teal Swan. She like, I think she thinks that she's God and like other people also think that she's God.
Yikes.
And like, she is, as I was, and I, granted, I've only seen the preview and I've also heard from other people who like really like it, but, it just goes to show that if you are an attractive white woman, you can do whatever you want and get people to believe whatever you want.
Yeah, paging Elizabeth Holmes.
I mean, honestly, you can be like not like a really good looking white guy. Like with a white woman, you have to be good looking if you want to get shit done. As a white man, like you can look like whatever.
Right.
And, you know, as if you're charismatic enough, you too can start a cult. But
such is our privilege. I'm not charismatic enough to do that. But if I were, I could.
Yeah.
You know,
no, Dan, like, honestly, like, take some Adderall and like go to Washington Square Park and start talking to folks. But yeah, so I don't know too much about it, except that like everyone is like so into her. I can't wait to find out more. And so I really want to watch that. I am really excited about House of Dragons.
House of the Dragon, the Game of Thrones spinoff. Prequel. Speaking of spinoffs, prequel. Yep.
Yeah.
Coming mid-late August. Yeah, like right around the corner.
So I'm looking forward to that. And Dan made fun of me for putting this on my list because it's definitely been out for probably 3 months. But Russian Doll, you guys will also recall that was on my things I'm looking forward to in the spring
last
as
time.
Well.
That's right.
Guess what? Still looking forward to it.
Running it back. Love it.
And I will be watching it. And there's another cult Netflix show called Keep Sweet and Obey. It's about like
it's the Mormon one, right?
FLDS, is that what it is? Yeah. Like, yes, thank you. I always want a documentary on people that are polygamists.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah, that's what I'm, those aren't like my top two that I'm looking forward to, but I definitely am. I'm very excited that I'm going to be watching those soon.
Yeah, I almost put in House of the Dragon, but I think it kind of goes without saying, and we've mentioned it before as looking forward to, I just wanted to mix it up a little bit. But on that nerd shit, we just got a trailer of The Rings of Power, the Lord of the Rings TV show, coming to Amazon Prime in September. And if you can't tell by my voice, I am extremely excited. This hits some of the nerdiest of my nerd bones. This was one of the earliest fantasy stories I grew up loving, thanks to my dad. Shout out, Pop. Can't wait. Can't fucking wait. The trailer looks incredible. It looks like one of the most expensive shows ever made. Mm-hmm. It's like, so Lord of the Rings, if you've seen those movies, that happens in the Third Age, I believe, which is like a time of an age of war. There's a First Age, which is also an age of war, like, you know, generations and thousands of years before. This show takes place in the Second Age. So like still thousands of years before, but like some of the elves that were in Lord of the Rings, they never age, they never die. So like they'll be in this, like Elrond, if that means anything to you, he's in this. So some connective tissue, but mostly a new story that's similarly going to be a bit of a prequel to the thing that everyone knows and loves in this fantasy fan space. Lots of expectations for both of these shows, Rings of Power and House of the Dragon. I hope they're both fucking awesome. I hope we get to just be in like fucking fantasy lands moving forward. It's like some of my favorite places to be.
Well, question about Rings of Power. So it's not based on any of the books. So like House of the Dragon is based on the book that George R. R. Martin wrote. Did they just kind of have the IP of like this world and it's a totally original, or is it based on something?
Not quite. So the thing about J.R.R. Tolkien was that he was incredibly like at a George R.R. Martin level, even maybe even more so, like just very, very exhaustive in his world building. Mm-hmm. So like there's this big kind of like textbook almost called the Silmarillion that details everything about the worlds of Middle Earth. And then in a lot of the Lord of the Rings books, there's appendices that are like book length themselves that give backstory and history to these ancient ages. So like there's a lot written about this time, maybe not specific characters and such, but there's enough where there's a backbone. I believe, I don't know as much about the lore and the extra reading and all that stuff, but it's not from scratch. Like it's very much like there's a lore here, there's a world here, there's history here.
Okay.
There's similar to kind of like that, the history of the Targaryen book that George R. R. Martin put together. Like it's along those lines. So it's like, there's going to be a lot of inventing in this show, but there's a base there to build on.
Okay. Got it. I'll probably watch it. I'm not like a big, like I saw all the Lord of the Ring movies, guys. Okay. I know I didn't see The Hobbit, but I did read The Hobbit. I never read the Lord of the Rings, but I did read The Hobbit. I didn't love it.
Full disclosure, but, not my favorite.
Yeah, full not disclosure, not my favorite. Listen, not that's really okay. My thing.
You're not a fantasy girl. Game of Thrones was, you know, the exception. So
yeah, Game of Thrones was the outlier for me.
All right, so I have one more. It's also a show, maybe not based on, but like a show version of a very popular movie from my childhood. A League of Their Own is coming out very soon.
Oh,
another Amazon. Yeah. I'm really in the bag for Amazon today. Another Amazon show loosely based on the IP about the Women's Baseball League. I'm forgetting the name of the league, which is really going to bug me. But, you know, it's
done by Abby. done by Abby from Broad City.
That's right. Yeah. Abby Jacobson, Darcy Carden's in it, but I'm really excited about it. The trailer looks great. Mm-hmm. I love, love, love that movie. Mm-hmm. Another one of my dad's favorites and my mom. So that was on a lot mm-hmm. growing up. And show looks great. Looks funny. Looks like it's going to be heartwarming. I love a sports story. So all in, A League of Their Own, Rings of Power, mm-hmm. shows based on movies. Let's go.
Wow, you're like really repping hard for Amazon Prime today, guys. Apparently, I just read that they got like a new interface to make it a little bit easier to use that app because like it is not very user-friendly, I will say that.
Mm, a lot of new interface shenanigans coming up. HBO Max mm-hmm. a little bit new. My YouTube TV is new. It looks like a straight up like TV grid from like 10 years ago. I fucking love it. Like it's true cable TV grid on YouTube TV now. It's great.
I mean, look, I love a guide. That's why I still have cable. Oh, yeah. So shows that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. What are your top two? So we splashed a bunch. What's your top two shows you're most excited about?
My top two, Everything is Trash. So Phoebe Robinson, who I think is just hilarious.
She's great.
She's doing a series like based on one of her books of essays, and she's just awesome. And I always need a show in my life about like girlfriends, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But like black girlfriends especially. And I feel like this show for me could hopefully like kind of replace what I'm missing with Insecure being gone, because like it's just really it's not just celebrating black friendship, but just like celebrating friendship. And like I like seeing that like there are black people doing this. Do you know what I mean? Because like, that's really what diversity is for me. It's like, it's not like, oh, we're going to tell specifically black stories. It's like, no, we're going to tell stories. And these are the people that it happens to. And it happens to everyone, guys.
Yeah.
But it also just looks really hilarious. So it's Phoebe Robinson, Jordan Carlos in it as her brother. She plays like a podcaster who, you know, in her 30s, doesn't really have her shit together, just kind of getting like kind of bumbling through life. And I love a good city-based girlfriends comedy, as you can all tell by one of my best shows, which is Broad City.
Right. And Insecure has been on lists.
And Insecure. Yeah.
And also I saw a trailer. I'm pumped to check out the show. I love Phoebe Robinson, but also just like the premise, it's mm-hmm. Phoebe hosted a podcast. So it's a little bit of like workplace comedy as well. And like a podcast network, which I, you know, spoiler alert, we're both pretty involved in the podcast world. So very intrigued, very intrigued in that angle of it as well. Great pick. I'm excited about that one as well. And that's a free form, but I believe will also be on Hulu like the next day, like most of those kind of cable shows are.
Yeah. And it started the end of, I think it just started. So
I think so. Like, yeah. Fresh.
Let's be watching it, guys.
Exactly.
And then the other show I'm really looking forward to, which I think it starts at the end of July, is Rap Shit.
Speaking of Issa Rae.
I know. Speaking of Issa Rae, this is, she is the creator and executive producer behind this. And it's from her production company. And it's about like these two girls that like become like these rap sensations. And it just looks awesome. It's set in Miami. Nice. I can't wait to watch it. Like, I feel like I don't know too much about it. And I like that. Like, I obviously watched the trailer, but like, it's not like it's based on anything that I would know, you know what I mean?
Right. The only comp I would give it is it's giving me Atlanta energy only because of two close people starting a rap career together. Like it has like that sort of lane to it.
But I don't think it's going to be weird though. I think it's just going to be like a, not, and that's so mean to say, it's not mean to say Atlanta is weird, but like some Atlanta episodes are like really weird. It's a weird show. It's a really good show, but it's a weird show.
Maybe not weird. It's like, what's the word? Like the
surreal.
There it is. Exactly. No, I only meant like, not even because it's a black show or whatever, just mm-hmm. like I'm interested in watching a different version of two friends coming up in the music industry mm-hmm. helmed by Issa Rae, you know, because music was such a big part of Insecure, and like origin of her character was rapping in the mirror. And like, so I see some of the intriguing connective tissue, creator tissue there, which I'm excited about.
Yeah. No. So yeah. Rap Shit, which so really looking forward to that. That is HBO Max.
Nice. Nice. Brandy, I believe that brings us to the end of all the shows we wanted to shout out. No shortage of options here, folks. If you've made it this far, mm-mm. you have plenty of things to check out, plenty of things to look forward to. We gave you, I don't know, 30, fucking shows, 40 titles.
There's a lot
here.
Of TV here.
We gave you a lot of titles to look into. If any of them popped for you, check them out. And then let us know what you think. Are they going to make it on your criteria? Are you excited about them? Do you want to chat about them? You can reach out to us on Instagram at TVBFFpodcast. You can also email us at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com. That's a wrap on this episode. Until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye, friends. I am really excited to go watch another new show that I didn't put on any list because I haven't seen it yet, but The Rehearsal.
The Rehearsal.
I'm really excited to watch. So that's what's going to be on my list tonight.
Also, Brandy, what are you and your husband actually in the middle of? We didn't touch on this, but you revealed right before we started recording, we can't go without revealing. Tell the people.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe. So everyone, my husband just listened to our last podcast and he came home and was like, so we should watch Station 11, right?
Let's go.
And I was like, okay. So yeah, so now we're watching Station 11.
Yes. Justice.
Yeah. So
justice for Station 11.
I think we're about to be on episode 3, but maybe we're about to be on episode 4.
Have you met Miranda?
Yes. Oh, well, you know what? We are about to be on episode 4. We just saw the episode that was like her episode where we asked each other the question, would you get on the boat for a year?
Fuck. I know, right? Would you?
And also, what would you do if you were like gonna get stuck in Malaysia? Like that's like, I'm so stressed out thinking about that.
Well, thankfully the series, well, I'm not going to tell you what happens. I want you to enjoy it.